at Royal Canadian Legion Branch 109 in Gibsons, British Columbia, on the 11th of November, following the remembrance ceremony at the cenotaph, 450 persons gathered in the Legion Hall. Branch President Harvey Metz introduced the keynote speaker, Pamela Proctor, the daughter of Frank Proctor, who served in the Second World War as Quartermaster Sergeant with the Royal Regina Rifle Regiment.
Thank you, Harvey. Veterans, honored guests, ladies and gentlemen, young people, children. When Harvey asked me to give this address today, I thought about my dad, who spoke every year at this time as Legion president to high school students and in church. He also wrote a piece for the local paper. I looked to him for strength as I prepared this for today. Dear Dad, when you left me, I was too young to know where you went or to understand why. But I missed you and apparently would throw my arms around the legs of anyone in uniform and ask, "Have you seen my daddy?" As I grew older, I knew you were in the war and that you were with the Regina Rifles. I sometimes felt lonely in my world without you and all of the other daddies who went with you. Mum looked after Joanne and me while you were away. She wanted to be proud of us when you returned, so we had to behave. She talked about you often, and we sent parcels. As she wrapped them, we had to put our fingers on the string so Mum could secure the knot. We also drew pictures for you and wrote letters. One day, someone went to the home of Mum's good friend Ethel with a telegram reporting that her pilot husband Doug, Margie and Shorty's daddy, was missing in action. After that, I knew that Mum wasn't too keen on hearing a knock on our door. Years passed, and I was six when I wrote a letter to Auntie Joyce, "The war is over now, and Daddy will soon be home." I can still remember being wakened and dressed up to go and meet you. When you marched into the armories with all the other daddies, Mum said, "There's Daddy." But we didn't know where to look. Which one was you? It was fun to have you at home. You played with us and took us places. In a couple of years, we moved to Mission because you wanted to be able to grow more food. A book you had brought home with you about people in Holland who looked gaunt and emaciated from hunger told me why. Feeling some disbelief and horror, I looked at that book quite often when I was growing up. I can remember that we sometimes begged you to read to us the letter back home, a soldier's humorous account about his experiences going to war. We used to burst into gales of laughter when the soldier told about sailing across the Atlantic in rough seas. He said he was hanging over the rail of the ship when someone else came on deck and called up to him, "Is the brigadier up yet?" He said he answered, "If I swallowed him, he's up." Remembrance days were quite special. Schools were closed, various sizes of poppies were for sale, and there was a big Remembrance Day display in Eaton's window. Dad paraded, and Mum wept. We went to the Legion for the ceremonies. Dad, when you spoke of or wrote about the war, peace was always your message. You were very clear that you fought for our peace and freedom. What happened in the war was so much part of you. It just had to come out. You were remembering every detail. So you took a course and began writing a book. You were 78 years old, but your memory and intellect were sharp, enabling you to produce hundreds of pages, in fact, your whole life story. Thank you for writing "I Was There." I now know where you went, why you opted to go, and what you were doing. I know that the book I used to look at was called Holland and the Canadians, and was a gift from the Dutch people. You write that it gave one a real feeling of the ugliness of war, and probably put to rest any doubts you may have had about your involvement. You quote the last paragraph in the book, and I was there. The Canadians who came overseas in the common crusade against the Nazi ideals fought some of the fiercest battles in Holland. They found victory in the Netherlands. They stayed as guests during the difficult period of reestablishment, and they returned to Canada to strengthen the ties between the two nations that the principles for which they fought may be preserved. I know that the food in some of the parcels was given to the people who became our good Dutch friends, Bertus and Lise Gort, and their little son Bart, all of whom were very, very hungry when you met them. You would be pleased to know that our family is still friends with the Gorts into the fourth generation now. When John and I visited Holland 2 years ago, the eldest surviving son, Frank, named after you, Dad, took us to the scene of some of the most intense battles near Nijmegen. We stood on the open sand dune banks of the River Wall with its busy barge traffic. Looking up at the Nijmegen Bridge, we wondered how it was captured from the determined German defense. Then Frank drove a short 5 kilometer distance to Grosbeek Cemetery, which is on a low hill overlooking Germany, where 2,388 young Canadians have their final resting place. We walked among the seemingly endless lines of white markers, each engraved with a name, unit, and age, mostly 18 to 23. We were struck by the silence and beauty of this immaculately cared for piece of Holland. It is impressive that their sacrifice is so obviously etched in the hearts of the Dutch people. Dad, it was then that I knew for certain where some of the young men of my childhood had gone. We went along one of the dikes beside the Rhine River, and Frank suddenly pulled over. We looked at a glass structure in which a Rolls-Royce Merlin engine from the Canadian Halifax bomber was mounted. The airplane crashed at the site, and the wreckage was unearthed during dike construction. Engraved in the stone base are the names of the young captain and his crew, another moving tribute from the Dutch people. Growing up in wartime, John and I became aware that our peaceful lives were obtained by these sacrifices, and on this Remembrance Day we acknowledge this and give thanks. And we salute the Gort family and all the Dutch for their caring and undying gratitude in remembering the Canadian liberators. Because I learned so much from you, Dad, I was able to talk with the young children I taught about Remembrance Day. They had no experience of war, but we talked about peace. I told them that peace had to start within them. Then they had to be at peace with their families and friends. But some knew and seemed to understand that sometimes there was a price to peace. One girl, 9-year-old Jasmine, wrote a poem called Remembrance Day. When I think about Remembrance Day, when you think about Remembrance Day, think of all the people who took the risk to go away, to go to war to save the country. What do you have to say? Think of all the people who lost an arm or a leg just to save our country. How do you like it that way? Some of the people who risked their lives died and are way over there in the poppy fields. Sometimes I wonder how it would be if everyone was depending on me. Thank you.